The content of this podcast should not be considered financial or investment advice. All interviews and discussions are opinions only, and the podcast has been created without taking into consideration the listener's financial objectives, financial situation, or needs. Listeners should obtain independent advice before making any financial decisions. Hi, this is Barry Fitzgerald, Garum Piero columnist for StockEd. Welcome to another edition of the Explorers podcast. Today we're catching up with Mike Fowler, MD of the WA Gold Explorer slash developer Genesis Minerals. It goes by the code GMD or Golf Mike Delta. It's trading at 8.2 cents for a market cap of about 160 million. And I'll just note there that it was a 3.2 cents stock at the start of the year. Now, Genesis was travelling along nicely on the strength of its Ulysses deposit near Leonora earlier in the year, but things got really interesting when Genesis recently acquired the nearby Kookynie Gold Project for $13.5 million. Ulysses and Kookynie are surrounded by multi-million ounce gold mines like Gwalia and Sunrise Dam, so you can imagine that supporting infrastructure there is as good as it gets. As it is, the Ulysses Gold deposit itself sits right on the Goldfields Highway, so there's no good track to get there. The combination of Ulysses and Kookynie, dare I say it, is the genesis of the company being able to start out on a pathway to establish a significant standalone gold mine and processing operation, all of about 30k south of Leonora. Kookynie came with a 414,000-ounce JORC-compliant resource for an all-up acquisition cost of $13.5 million or $33 a resource ounce, which you have trouble finding for that cost. The Ulysses resource is currently 867,000 ounces, of which there is a higher grade component of 4.5 grams a tonne for 695,000 ounces. So the all-up resource base for the combined project is 1.2 million ounces at a very handy grade of 2.34 grams of gold a tonne. Importantly, it's the first time that the ground between Ulysses and Kookynie has been consolidated, giving coverage of 15 kilometres of the important regional structural corridor. And with all that, I'm going to say g'day to Mike and welcome him to the show. Hi, Mike, and thanks for your time today.
Hi, Barry. Thanks for having me along.
Great. And Mike, I think it would be a good idea, given the company's clearly going through this transformational phase, if you can give us a bit of a rundown on yourself and some of the board skills that might be there that will be needed in the next year or two as you move from that focus largely on exploration now into a development phase.
No worries. So I'm a geologist by background, 30 years experience. I started in 1989 with a company called Dominion Mining,
doing both Dominion, yeah.
Yes, doing both mining and exploration. Mm-hmm. Did 7 years there, then moved to a company called Croesus Mining and again did mining, exploration, business development, got involved in every facet of the business there. And then in 2008, I floated Genesis Minerals, and we've been working on that ever since. So we started life in South America, looking for world-class gold and copper deposits, moved back to WA in 2014, and have been working on the Ulysses project that Barry's just described for the last really 6 years now, and that's been going from strength to strength. Yeah, in terms of the board, we've got some really good board members for the size of company we are. Tommy McKeith's the chairman. Tommy's involved with Evolution as a non-exec director and a number of other smaller gold companies. Tommy's great. He covers, can work in a large organisation and a small one. Like Genesis, brings a range of skill sets from exploration to project development to mining. We've got Nick Erner on the board. Nick's a representative of Alkane, our major shareholder. They're going great guns over in New South Wales at the moment. Mm. Nick's, I think, a chemical engineer by background, and he brings a wealth of experience in project development and mining. Craig Bradshaw is a non-exec director. Craig was instrumental in getting Saracen up and running in the early days. He spent 4 or 5 years as their as their chief executive officer, their COO, and brings a wealth of mining experience and project development experience. And Jerry Kaczmarek is our other board member, and Jerry's a financial guy that's been involved in a lot of project startups. Mm-hmm. In terms of our actual management team, we've got Hayden Hadlow, who's our exploration manager, and he brings a wealth of experience in mining and exploration, and a guy called Chris O'Brien, who's our COO, who's been involved in a number of sort of startups and working for large and small companies. Mm-hmm. So I think we've got all bases covered in terms of being able to take Ulysses forward and getting it in production in the near term.
Okay. Now, given Ulysses, the story around Ulysses is fairly well known, or should be, I was wondering if you could give us a feel for what you've picked up at Kokardi and the relationship that you see developing between Ulysses and Kokardi as we move forward.
Yeah, so the Kokardi tenements are located immediately southeast of our main Ulysses deposit. And as you've outlined before, the acquisition brought in 414,000 ounces. And these ounces are within what we consider open pit sort of parameters. So we'll be able to, what we're looking to do is have a feasibility study that captures underground and open pit ore from Ulysses. And then at the moment, from the current resource base, open pit ore from the Kokardi tenements.
Right. Now, it's the mineralisation, the same style across the two?
So certainly at Admiral Clark Butterfly, it's a very similar style of mineralisation to what we have at Ulysses.
Mm-hmm.
At Orient Well, where we've been doing a fair bit of work over the last month, it's a different style of mineralisation where it's more of a, it's hosted within a felsic volcanic unit and it's a quartz stockwork. Mm-hmm. At Ulysses and Admiral Clark Butterfly, it's more of a lode style of mineralisation there.
Right. So of the styles of mineralisation in that part of the world, which one excites you the most?
Both styles are exciting. We know at Ulysses the mineralisation extends at depth without any problem. So we expect it to be the same story at Admiral Clark and Butterfly, where we've got a number of structures there. So just stepping back, at Ulysses, all the mineralisation is on one structure that we call the Ulysses Shear. At Admiral Clark and Butterfly, we've identified at the moment 6 different mineralised structures, which is really exciting for us. That there's an opportunity there to expand these at depth. It's a little bit more structurally complex, which is a really good thing from a gold mineralisation point of view. But we expect to be able to do the same thing we've done at Ulysses, really expand the resources at depth. At Ulysses, we started and the depth of drilling there was only sort of 70, 80 metres below surface. Very similar situation with Admiral Clark and Butterfly, where the bulk of the drilling at the moment is only 70 to 100 metres below surface. And all these mineralised structures are completely open at depth. So it's really exciting for us.
Talk about open at depth. You're not all that far from Gwalia, are you? Which is what down at God knows what depth now.
Yeah, that's close to 2 kilometres, so it'd be nice if we could extend ours that deep. It'd be very exciting.
Now, I mentioned a big drilling program, I think 25,000 metres of RC drilling and diamond drilling is underway. What's the initial focus?
So the initial focus of our drilling has been to really confirm the resources that we've inherited at Kokardi. So we've taken this approach given the sort of issues that some recent startups have had in Western Australia. So we want to just make sure our resources are as robust as possible. And our initial drilling at Avril has given us a huge tick from that point of view. So we're really pleased with how that's all started.
So the focus is at Admiral at the moment, any drilling, because Orient Well is a bit further down the road, but any drilling there?
So We've completed this initial confirmation drilling at Apparel. We've also done it at Clark and Butterfly. And we've just finished at Orient Well. So that's just really confirming the initial resources. And now we're starting to step out. It's initially at Apparel, but then we'll move on to Clark and Butterfly over the next couple of months, and also at Orient Well.
Hmm. I was going to ask there, so when do you see the focus shifting to expansion of resources at depth and along strike?
Well, that's really started now, as of last week. So that's the exciting bit for us, and I think that'll be the exciting thing for shareholders, is that now it's just starting to show how large the Kukini deposits can be.
Mm. Now, both Ulysses and Kukini have production histories, albeit short ones in the modern era.
Yes.
What stopped production at the two operations? And obviously, I take it was gold price at the time, was it? Or?
Yeah, a lot of it was to do with gold price. So at Ulysses, that was mined by Sons of Gwalia in 2002, and that was at a point with Sons of Gwalia where they were just trying to fill the mill at Gwalia with all whatever they could from around the district, and it was sort of the start of their death throes, if you like. They were really starting to go downhill at that point. So Ulysses worked really well for them from an open pit point of view. But that they were just really looking at the oxide part of the deposit there. Right. And Apparel, Clark, Butterfly and Orient Well, they were mined in the period from 1995 to 1997-98. And that was, it started up, the gold price was strong. And as you said, the gold price really started to tank around 1997-98.
Yeah. Down what, around 350 an ounce, I think.
Yes, I've got vivid memories of doing optimizations at that sort of price, which wasn't much fun.
But everything lights up with what have we got now? Still 2,500 Aussie gold plus.
Yeah, a lot of things fall into the reserves at this point.
Mm. Now, I mentioned a feasibility study was underway. Is there any chance you can give us a feel for the scope of the work?
Yeah, so with this feasibility study, we're looking to show that we can produce in the range of 100 to 130,000 ounces per annum. That's our objective there, and that's to do it with a plant the size of about 1.2 to 1.3 million tonnes a year.
I think average cost of production in Australia are currently around $1,400 an ounce. Is that a sort of swing point for you guys as well?
We expect to be a little bit lower than that, but we've got a lot of work to do between now and March to finalise those numbers.
Right. Okay. Now, you might remember, Mike, I'd love a beer for every time I've tipped Genesis as a takeover stock. That was always on the basis that the Ulysses itself was just a little bit shy of that, the requirement for a standalone project.
Correct.
So, do you see yourself being vulnerable at all? Because there's a lot of hungry mills in that part of the world, isn't there?
Look, Barry, we probably are, but at the moment we're just focused on full steam ahead, growing the resource base as large as possible, completing the feasibility study as quickly as possible and getting into production as quickly as possible. If something happens on that journey, and it's great for all shareholders, then, we'd seriously look at that. But at the moment, we just cannot worry about what may happen from an external point of view.
Mm. Because every day that goes past, you'll be adding value to the story anyway.
Correct. We think we've got a lot of value to add from this point.
Mm. And the emergence of Alkane as your major shareholder, I think they're around 15%. How would you describe that relationship?
Oh, the relationship's great. Nick Erner, as I said before, he's on the board, very supportive, brings a wealth of knowledge. They're really keen to help us get into production over the next 18 months. which and they've been really supportive in terms of what they're thinking from a corporate point of view. I've got no idea from that point of view, but at the moment they're just really supportive on getting Genesis into production as soon as possible.
Right. Okay. Now, we've talked a lot about Ulysses and Kokani, but regionally I understand you've got about 40 kilometres of prospective strike built up over the recent years, both near and regional targets. Anything we can talk about at this stage?
Look, we haven't really got into that work yet, but as you've outlined there, we've got a lot of highly prospective ground. To the north of our Ulysses tenements, we have a joint venture with Kin Mining called the Desdemona South Joint Venture. And there we're looking for essentially new discoveries. It's an area that has not had a lot of work really for the past 25 years. And it's a zone between the Gwalia mine, which is 8 million ounces in combined resources, reserves, and what's been previously mined, and Ulysses. So it's a highly prospective track of ground there that we need to do a lot of first-pass drilling on. It's a really exciting opportunity for discovery. And then really back around from Ulysses to Orient Well, there's a large area there outside of the current resources that needs first-pass testing that hasn't been done over the last 20, 25 years, which is remarkable given the location of it. So we see a real opportunity close to the existing resources to make new discoveries. And then down to the southeast of the Orient Well deposit, we've got another deposit called Puzzle, where there's a 5 kilometre trend down there on a granite greenstone contact that we think has got some serious potential to outline some significant resources.
Yeah, okay. Just to bring it all together, what should investors be looking out for, say, in the next 6 to 9 months and then further out in 18 months?
So in terms of news flow, we'll have drilling results that will be ongoing until probably February of 2021. And that all that drilling is to feed into resource updates, which will be in the December, January, Christmas period of this year. So we can expect resources to be all updated by probably late January. And that will all feed into the final bit of the feasibility study, which is due for completion by the end of March of 2021. And then from that point, it's hopefully a very easy decision to fund it and go mining within the next sort of 12 months. So then we really get into a development phase and into production.
Right. Just the updated resources, resource estimates in December, January, are they likely to be more of a confirmatory nature, or could there be some upside from the current figures?
They'll certainly be confirmatory in nature, but we expect to have upside.
Right. Okay. And sorry to flip around here. That exploration joint venture with Kin, are you guys managers of that?
Yes, we're managers of that.
Mm. And is there a near-term drilling program planned for that?
So we've actually just completed a program of air core drilling up there, and we'll have some news about that drilling probably in October.
Right. Okay, you've got action aplenty, haven't you?
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
And nice to, of course, be fully funded for it. The raisings in, June, July, and more recently with Alkane. A very different situation to what, say, 12, 18 months ago.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's nice to have the support of our shareholders. They've been great. We've had a few good new ones that have come on board over the past sort of 2 to 3 months, which has been really pleasing. But yeah, it's a good thing to be able to be funded to do the work that's required.
Yeah, get on with it. Excellent. Alrighty, Mike. Well, thanks for that. You've given us a great rundown on the Kokani acquisition and what it means for the company's development plans. So, and an exciting near mine, near mine and regional exploration program in the works there as well. So we'll be watching it with interest and wish you the best of luck. So thanks for your time today.
Great. Thanks, Gary.